Yo, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, what it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lex Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture.
Yes, yes.
Back again.
Yes, we are. Yes,
man,
we are.
Feel good to be back in this space, man. Like,
Absolutely. It feels like we've been away for too long. Too long, right?
Yeah,
It's been a week. You guys, yes. For those of you guys that did not have the opportunity to go on ahead and check out, we had a bonus episode that was uploaded exclusively.
Yes, where do we go from here?
YouTube.
Yes. Lex Rhymes, where do we go from here? So go ahead, stop playing, support, and go check out our bonus episode. You know what I'm saying? Also, I mean, feels good to be back in this place. Feels good to be back in this space.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So,
Can't stress that enough.
So, I mean, I'm here with a newfound inspiration and a new hunger behind this, man. So, I mean, I can't wait until we get into all the shits and giggles and all the shenanigans and all the fuck shit that we have to offer for this episode today.
Yes, like, yes. Like Steve said, we were off last week, but for good reason. We still were working. Even though we weren't here in front of you guys, we were actually working, and we're going to get definitely more into that. But before we get into all of that, you know, how was your week?
Man, my week was pretty good. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, came back with a newfound inspiration. You know, got a job offer at another part-time job, and then on the verge of getting another new job. You know what I'm saying? For anybody that know me, y'all know I'm always trying to, like,
this,
you know,
man
keep
works.
It moving.
He's got some Jamaican in his blood.
Yes.
You lazy
right,
bum.
Right,
you got 10 jobs?
Yes, man.
That's what I'm talking about. You got to know to know.
Yes. I mean, like, I can't complain. And then just, you know, just coming back home with a newfound inspiration after just coming back from just being there for the 2 days that we was at a Revo Summit. Shout out to the crew, Kappa Phi Scammer.
Yes.
Right.
Huge shout out to you know, our broski roski, Drew.
Black Aces, absolutely.
Bugaloo, we see you, Revolt.
Right.
We got Beer Bung and DTP, but those are all code names. We'll definitely get into all of that in a bonus episode. But, you know, like you said, it's just been a real, real trying week. You know, but, you know, thank you personally. I'll go ahead and you know, put that out there. My pops passed away, you know, rest in peace to the king of Long Beach. That's been a moment, but Steve definitely came on out and you know, made sure he checked on his girl and all that good jazz, and you know, that was really love. And also everybody that's been sending out there.
Yes, had to get her the lemon pepper steppers.
Yes, he did. That was definitely a higher point, and you know, to absolutely everybody that's reached out to me personally and, you know, just sent their love and light my way, my 2020 twin and family, you know, my bro Will, my bro Keese, and just everyone that's actually, you know, just sent some love. And also, you know, Chubbs also, you know,
absolutely, just
want to acknowledge those people, because, you know, again, it's just these moments are, you know, challenging.
Yes.
But, you know, that those, you know, just knowing that, feeling that love is just, it makes these moments a little bit easier. So, you know, again, thank you. And yeah, that's been what a lot of my week has kind of, you know, been consumed with. But the Revolt Summit, how do we, you know, because it was just kind of wild, because going from the summit and then kind of being, you know, at the airport and getting that news, it was like, oh my God, it's like one of the best moments of my life. But then it's like the one of the worst at the same time.
Right.
So I was just kind of going through all of that. But to go in more into the summit, oh my goodness, let's go on ahead and kick that off. Like, honorable mention, first and foremost, thank you to absolutely everyone that had any type of hand, for those that attended,
yes,
the security,
yes,
the vendors,
yes,
for everyone, the photographers,
yes,
you know, to the videographers, to the performers, just everyone that had keynote speakers, to everyone that had any type of hand in making this summit what it was.
We thank you
from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes.
You know, special shout outs to our boy Julian, the hometown hero. You know, just definitely is just an amazing experience, and just being around that type of community.
Absolutely, man. No, especially, like, to me, like, it was just a mind blowing and shocking to me when we got into the game area, man. Shout out to all the black people that's been changing the culture at gaming and just of Xbox, of being people in the room, having like-minded people just like them, you know, just letting them know, like, hey, it's okay for you to be you. So not only it was about hip-hop culture, it was about business, content creating, like developing, marketing. Not only that, though, too, just everybody in the room that whatever you do, from photography, filming videos, filming movies, you just trying to get your foot in as an A&R or a music executive, a model, just everything about the Revo Summit. It was just dope. But even to the point, they had a place in there called AT&T Office Hours where you could sit down for 30 minutes and talk to these people about your brand, whether it's your brand, your business, and your content, and then them just giving you pointers and tips how to further your brand, your content, or your business. So it was a win-win all across the board. And also to the performers, from Baby Tate to Lakia, and one of my favorites, if you guys haven't checked the vlog that I put out on the Lace Rounds page, go check it out. The Ox God Wars, where they were going back and forth between the music and the decades. And then, of course, ending it, no matter where you at, any type of music, our people, we going electric slide to that motherfucker.
Oh, absolutely.
We going to electric slide to that motherfucker. So, you know, it was dope from Earn Your Leisure, from Master P speaking, Rap Radar having Gucci Mane speak, Financial Literacy with Big Frida, LaRussell, Lady London, Guap Dad 4000, like, man, like, it was just dope. And it's just, you know, being around the space with same like-minded people as you, making connections, you know, so you guys helping each other out to further your careers as a creative in this space that we're all in right now. So I'm gonna, like, Revolt was just fucking phenomenal beginning to the end.
Oh, yes.
I'm just mad that shit was just 2 days.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, because, man, it gave us just the right amount of everything, like you said. And I just kind of wish that we had it for like a week, because it was so, you just really didn't want it to end. You didn't want it to end at all. But from the performances to, like, again, the keynote speakers, one of my favorite was, of course, John Petty. I really appreciated it.
He was a good one. Yes.
The knowledge that
he
dropped. Master P came out and sprinkled us with some game. And also, you know, hearing Gucci Mane and, you know, him being more in that vulnerable state with the Rap Radar interview, and just kind of explaining his take on the whole Versus aspect and all of this stuff that we're mentioning also is uploaded to YouTube. But, you know, don't really necessarily just take our word for it. What we're highly encouraging is all creators, all creatives, to definitely join us next year as we attend the Revo Summit. I'm just really, really excited for absolutely everything that we got in the pipeline. We made some amazing connections, and it's just so much more to come. I just really feel as though that this was just so much. It was just such an amazing experience for us because of the amount of connections and just really, like, what we got in the pipeline. So you guys definitely have to stay tuned. You know, we're not going to let any cats out the bag just yet, but we definitely have some amazing things in store here for at Lace Rhymes, and we cannot wait to share them all with you guys as they you know, come up.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. So, man, shout out to Revolt. Shout out to Diddy for, you know, you just putting this on, man. You know, we know the pandemic happened. Y'all had to take a little break, and then y'all came back again with Atlanta, and then y'all did it back again in Atlanta. So, I mean, it was just dope, though. So, I mean, shout out to Diddy. Shout out to Revolt.
Yes.
Shout out to everybody who had their hand.
Motown.
Had their hand. Yeah.
The live interviews for Combs.
Yeah.
What was it? Combs Enterprises?
Enterprises.
Yeah. So, you know, people can say whatever they want, because it's always like Master P said, it's very, very, you know, to sit on the sideline and just complain and everything. And one of my favorite things to say also is that it's always easy to be a critic and not contribute. You know, it's real easy to judge somebody else's contributions versus making contributions to yourself. But one of the things that no one can actually fault this man, Sean, Puffy, Diddy, Combs on, is that he definitely delivered. They were doing on-the-spot interviews.
Oh, yes.
And I thought that was really phenomenal. Like Steve said, they also had the breakout rooms with the AT&T where you have the option to have that 10 minutes worth of mentorship and just really even sign up for possible mentorship. So that was one of my favorite things about the summit. But the list goes on and on. In addition to that, like the representation with having individuals, you know, that yes. having actually representation of the culture in the rooms and everything, and just, you know, just explaining the whole essence of code switching and everything. So that's really awesome, because there's so many things that we talk about all the time, like, you know, when you kind of come in contact with, say, for instance, like a Prada, and they do mm-hmm. the whole, like, who was it? It was, you know, Prada had a monkey scandal a couple of years ago, but I want to say H&M also. And it's who the hell was in a room and kid to put on this hoodie.
Right.
But these guys are actually in the room, and they're making sure that we are heard and we are represented. So a huge shout out for not just them, for them for sure, but also for everyone that is actually giving us that type of representation and letting them know, like, hell no, that's not cool.
Right.
Or hell yeah, you know, this is the way to go. But before we get ahead of ourselves a little bit, I want to go on ahead and especially give a special shout out to my guy, Retro Chris Media. He's actually on Instagram.
Yes. And check him out.
You guys go on ahead and check him out. We're following him from the Lace Rhymes page, so you can feel free to find him there. But he has some really, really amazing art, and it was really dope connecting with him. I could be here for just a undue amount of time for a long time to go through the entire book.
Then, man, but if you guys can see
here, you know, he has some really great takes, and I just really I was very impressed with his artistic creations here, you know, his contributions.
Yes.
And then also huge shout out to everybody that hit my Hydro Flask up. I did make good on that, on just following everybody that tagged me up on here. So, you know, and everybody returned the love also. So I personally, my heart is just really, really full with nothing but love and just pride for our culture, man, and for our people. Because it's just, you know, you want to go somewhere where you seen, this is the place you seen. You
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So I just say next year, man, all my people, I better see y'all there next year. That's for sure.
And showing out.
Right. Show up and show out.
Absolutely.
All right. Commentary for the culture. So while we was going, it was a lot of fuck shit that was going on.
Yeah, the fuck shit didn't quite stop. It was like no days off. So
it really didn't.
And get into this shit.
So go and start, which we're gonna review the album later. The baby claims he slept with Megan Thee Stallion before the alleged shooting with Tory Lanez. The baby had claimed that he slept with Meg Thee Stallion multiple times, including the night before Tory Lanez allegedly shot her. The North Carolina rapper dropped the bombshell on his new album, Baby on Baby 2, which was released by surprise Friday. And Meg Thee Stallion and the baby first linked up back in 2019, forming the successful partnership on songs like Cash It, Cry Baby, Nasty, and DJ Khaled's I Did It. Always cracked the Billboard Top 100. No, gotta give credit where credit is due. However, sour 2 years later, the baby struck up a friendship with Tory Lanez, a man that charged with the felony assault for allegedly shooting Meg in her foot. The baby and the Scat collaboration prompted Meg to unfollow the baby on Instagram that June. The pair fallout quickly intensified when Meg Thee Stallion blasted the baby on social media, accusing him of being two-faced. Support me in private and publicity do something different. These industry men are very strange, she tweeted. This situation ain't no damn beef. I really wish some people would stop downplaying it like it's some internet shit, like the likes and retweet. The baby responded, assuring that Meg Thee Stallion ain't had no bad energy for her, which replied, we already spoke about this in private, when you specifically said that even no good business move. So why would I promote that shit? But this ain't your beef. This ain't real. But why you say ain't your business, my G?
I be so sick of you, nigga. I be so sick of you, nigga.
Hey, this just me. I know I might get some slack for this, though, but it's fair game. It's fair game on baby. Because, I mean, Meg did it first. You know, she took some shots. He waited a whole time to say what he said. Now, granted, like, what he said, like, meh. I mean, that's just me. I wouldn't be a nigga to put my business out there, you know, who I'm fucking. That's just me. I don't get down like that. But if you find out, you find out. But I'm not going to put it out there, like, you know, to let you know, like, okay, like, who I'm fucking and who I'm doing all this with, though. But, I mean, same energy that she had put out was like, you know, publicity, like, you know, shaming this nigga, this and that, you know, calling him on his name. And then he waited. He waited until he dropped his album, EP, whatever it was, you know, to put her, to say the name out there. But also, this nigga went on a whole nother level, getting a fake Meek the Stallion in the video.
Oh my God.
I was just thought like, damn, bro. Like, that's what we doing? That's what we doing?
All right. How old are we? How old are we? Are we fucking 15 years old? Yes, I really am. I really am. Because I'm like, all right, this shit reminded me of The Wood. It's like, is there a pussy paw somewhere? Is there, like, are you guys betting on, like, who hit it first?
I hate for you to say the pussy paw. That's
like,
funny,
I'm so sincere, though. Like, how old are we? Like, that shit just is really distasteful. It's like, okay, fair game. Right. You know, that's real corny. Like, are you serious? No. Hell no. Like, it's, all right, so you did that and what? Meg actually came out on top. Like, basically, both of their music has been real lackluster. As
oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
It's been horrible. Absolutely. It's been fucking horrible. So, for him to do that, it actually gave Meg some form of ammunition in the sense of femininity and body empowerment, and I do what I want with my body, whatever. Mm-hmm. I do what I want.
Right.
You know, it gave her all of that. It's my hot body. You know, it gave her all of that. Right. Like, it gave her that type of empowerment, which, you know, rightfully so, because that shit was mad corny. I was like, you know, when I heard it, I'm like, oh. It's so many different things about this guy. It's just like, okay, so. It's layers to it. It's one of those things, too, that we're going to revisit a little bit later as well. But hell no, that shit was mad whack. It was just so unnecessary to say. And it's like, if this was your moment and this was what you were really just trying to hit people off with from like shock factor and all of that, it was just mad whack. Like, basically, like, I don't really go off and just try to weigh in or even speak on anybody. Like, that whole situation, for instance, with the, the Nia Long situation. I won't even go that far in depth. But the main reason why I'm like, okay, like, it's certain things. Like, we talk about it, it's victims and there's volunteers, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, with that, it's like, okay, some people can deal with their stuff in private. And some things just hit the media. And, you just got to kind of go do damage control and all of that kind of deal, right?
Right.
But with this one, this nigga is volunteering unnecessary information and details in hopes that somebody is going to go listen to this weak ass album to find out why he said what he said. And it was just, it's horrible, because what were we supposed to do? We were supposed to champion you to be, what were you expecting from that? Like,
I mean,
that shit was whack as fuck. No,
really,
we're grown. Like, people fuck. Like, are you serious? So, like,
for real,
that's what they do.
Real.
That's what grown-ups do, right?
Yeah. Okay, that, and that's, and 100%, that's fair. Like, but he did it as trying to, I guess, like, maybe trying to market it as, you know, promotions for his album and shit. So that's just me. If I know I clapped Megan Thee Stallion, the only people that's going to know is my day one niggas. Like, you can talk bad about me all you want in public, though, but you know and I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Clapping cheeks, so it don't even matter. Don't even matter to me. But for you to bring that out in the forefront, like, I agree. Like,
it was
okay,
very distasteful.
Like, you try. I respect the fact that you try to use it for a marketing purpose, but also too, like, bro, like, you also didn't need to do that. I understand you're getting your get back, your tit for tat for her saying what she said about you. I get it though, but come on, bro. We all know that's pillow talk, B. Like, I'm just calling it for what it is. Niggas get mad at me. I don't care though. But come on, like, you don't do that. You don't do that, man. Like, like she talking bad. Let her talk bad. It's cool. You already got the cheeks. That's it. Like, you didn't need to go all making a video, having a fake Meg Thee Stallion in the video. Like, bro, like,
it's
like,
thirsty.
You,
oh, it's
like,
my God. It's thirsty.
Like, you
it's
doing
mad
too
thirsty,
much.
You know?
Like, you doing too much. So I mean, it is what it is. So, man. So, I mean, hopefully this shit gets rectified. So, that's it. That's it. I guess rectified though, and hopefully, yeah, without both going, of them without, start yeah. making quality music, because both of their music, I ain't gonna lie, both of their music is trash right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're definitely going ahead and end on that, just simply because of the fact that we, you know, we got to get back into that a little bit later. But
yeah,
yeah, that shit was mad whack. It was corny as fuck.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Other than that, another some fuck shit. Academics response to the backlash that he got over the Dusty Rapper's comments. So if you guys didn't know, but mostly y'all seen what he said about the previous rapper generation before, how he was talking about how they were broke, they were this, they were that. So he went on ahead and when other rappers like LL Cool J, MC Shan, KRS-One, Joe Buttons, like you had all the hip hop artists and just people of the culture coming out, was like, hey, letting this little nigga know, hey, like, you wrong for this. You wrong for this comment. And he went on and said, responded to, I feel like the last generation, multiple generations of hip-hop artists has failed the new generation, he said. That's why I don't think it's blonde leading the blonde. That's why I don't think older artists should be criticizing or really have any leg to stand on, even if y'all call yourselves pioneers to criticize how new artists are moving. Look, this is my stance on it. The forefront of hip-hop, I get it. It was the beginnings. These niggas didn't have no managers, no backing, no nothing. This is just the shit that they created out of their neighborhood, not knowing how far it was going to go. And then when it went the farthest with, you seeing people like the Sugar Hill Gang getting jerked. You see Grandmaster Cass getting jerked. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five getting jerked. Mm-hmm. So the more and more these artists started getting these deals, people like Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, and even like LL Cool J and the Beastie Boys, when Def Jam came along, you know, just trying to make shit right for a lot of the artists that was getting jerked though. But also too, Academics, you got to get them a pass, bro, because this was the early stages of hip hop. They didn't know no better. So as when time progressed, and then when you get to the early 90s, like Public Enemy, Ice-T, NWA, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, it was a disconnect. And I get it. I understand the disconnect, because they were so heavily involved in the culture where it's just all like, okay, you bite my rhymes, you bite my style, you don't respect me, fuck you. The younger kids, oh, these OGs was not embracing us. Fuck you too. So it came with the territory. Until things become with a balance, you have to go through all the negative and the fuck shit that comes with the culture. Fast forward, now that we have people like J. Cole, we said this again, embracing an artist like 21 Savage. Mm-hmm. You just had Kendrick Lamar embracing an artist like Kodak Black, which is a different generation between the two. That's just all like last year with Tyler the Creator on Call Me If You Get Lost. He had NBA Youngboy. That's two totally different generations. Now you have the people just trying to fix the wrongs of the past generation. But for you to call them dusty, bro,
take it off.
You're out of pocket for that, and take that shit off, man, because a lot of their business and affairs went in order. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know how the business worked. They didn't know how publishing worked. They didn't know how producers and this person and that person get paid off of records. They didn't know, man. Like, this was new. This was new. So for you to go out and say that, bro, like, nah, bro.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Well, I'm glad that I'm grateful that you had so much of a, you know, passionate rant about that. Secondly, I just personally refuse to, like, really even penetrate or even go past anything that man says. Like, I'm not about to listen to a dusty nigga calling somebody else dusty. I've never seen this nigga in a fresh lineup. I've never seen this nigga don't look like he get no hoes. Like, it's just like, so I just personally, I'm not about to go on ahead and like, even, it's like all the whole dynamics of everything else and the history and all of that kind of situation. It's like, you just really got to consider your sources. And we're talking about people that just kind of get in front of like the whole Twitch thing and mm-hmm. all of that or whatever, like
right.
get on a mic and they just start saying anything right. just for shock factor. And that's what I pretty much like personally, like what I'm grateful and not just trying to like send just a million flowers and just like blow us up or anything like that in that sense, because of course like just being humble about it. But I will also say that that's really one of our key core values here at Lace Rhymes, is that we actually speak on things that really have substance, and we yes. really are focused on not changing that dynamic. Because if you feel a certain way, that's okay. But then when you're just saying shit just to say shit, just to, you know, get somebody to, you know, put some shit out there and stream it up and all of that kind of deal, that's a whole nother thing. Absolutely. And to just blatantly be so disrespectful. So it's like everything is just really, it's a huge imbalance right now. And I get so annoyed with that, because, yeah, it's true enough. Like, it's times are going to change and all of that. But as LL said, you wouldn't even have the opportunity to even speak on the culture if it weren't for these people. And it's like, who are you really, like, nigga? You know, you keep on living. You keep on living. You too, hopefully, will make it to that level of dust or whatever the hell you think it is. It's age or whatever. But you sitting here, you talking about, you know, cats in the same sense. Like, because some people can't even group Nas in that. And that's one of the cleanest niggas that has ever done it. Like, immaculate.
Exactly, because Fab,
you know, all these yes. cats still very much clean, and we talking about a nigga that look like he eats cereal for dinner and shit. Like, come on now. Like, we not about to go there. Like, you know.
No, yeah, for real. Like, because, like, with anything, whether you're an MC, a B-boy, a graph writer, or a DJ, a lot of these people that set the pace and set the forefront that were crawling to be having people like us to be able to walk. Take, for instance, for the graph writers, like, they were bombing on subways and on the blocks, to now, like, you have people creating Nike shoes and graffiti for Nike, Adidas, and Reebok. Another example with b-boying and breakdancing. Like, you know, you had all these battles going into the cypher until we fast forward now. The shit is being shown on ESPN, and the next year after, it's going to be in the Olympic Games. Look at DJing. DJing started off just them rocking out in the parks and just in these parties. So now they're doing clubs, they're doing venues, they're doing tours. They even just, where it expanded to, you're having different DJs in different genres. So that foundation of a lot of these people that didn't know what they were doing, they were crawling to be people for us to be able to walk and to be able to thrive and benefit off of this shit. So, I mean, yo, the people who all like, look, this is my thing. For anybody that got jerked in the business or didn't even know about the business until when they got older, yo, us here at Lace Rhymes, we applaud you. We thank you, because without y'all, we wouldn't be here. Y'all set the foundation. Y'all was crawling to able to allow people like us to be able to walk.
And absolutely. And of course, we know that. I like yes. to take what he said on sitting there, you know, looking like he didn't even fucking brush his teeth that morning and just talking and shit and just kind of like really expound on all that. And it's like, hell no. Like, what we're going to stop doing is stop giving niggas like that attention.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Moving on. Man, sad to my heart. You know, we already did a bonus episode about PNB Rock. So now, back again. Female rapper Desto killed after posing money on Instagram. An up-and-coming female rapper from Memphis, Tennessee was gunned down after she posed in an Instagram photo with loads of cash. The police said aspiring rapper Lotto Cash Desto was shot and killed during an armed robbery in Houston, Texas early Saturday. Desto, the real name Destiny Govan, was driving a Porsche SUV with a 20-year-old female passenger around 2:30 a.m. with a four-door sedan pulled up alongside the SUV at a red light. Police said the two men hopped out the car, exchanged gunfire with Govan. 25 was shot multiple times and robbed. She was pronounced dead on the scene. The female passenger was transported to a local hospital with a single gunshot wound. Police officer said Christian Isaiah Williams, 24, in a nearby parking lot, suffered a gunshot wound to the abdomen where he was transported to a hospital where he was charged with murder. According to Fox 26 News, he remains hospitalized. The police left the evidence at the crime scene linking that Williams to a double shooting. The second gunman was still at large. Gavon was known for her collaborations with mentor Lil Uzi Vert in a rap song, Lunchroom in Vegas. Yo, please. Y'all gotta stop with this. Like, for real. We done already talked about PNB Rock. Before PNB, Young Dolph, Nipsey. Like, come on, man. Like, when is enough is enough? But what sickens me, y'all took out a female rapper. Like, really. A female rapper because, like, yo, like, and I get it. You move how you supposed to move. Like, she's showing cash on the Instagram, but I'm all like, yo, like, come on, y'all. Y'all better than that. Y'all really better than that. Like, really, to pull up on a woman of all people and just to shoot her down, and knowing that you probably didn't even get nothing from it. You probably might even got a chain or maybe even $1,000 at the most. So, but come on, y'all. Enough is enough. This senseless killing has to stop. For real. Mm. Like, this is becoming way too much. Way too much.
I totally agree. It's just, it's been something, it's been a topic, it's been something that we've been repeating, especially since I joined the pod, of just, like, senseless acts of violence. And in this case, it's really ridiculous. Less than maybe 2 weeks ago, we were discussing the whole PNB Rock tragedy. And to even, you know, surface back on that, for it to be the whole father and son dynamic and the stepmother being an accomplice as well. So sending love and light to PNB Rock's family as they go through all of the transitions, and, you know, to absolutely everybody that also kind of came at the girlfriend. They're releasing more information of saying that she was in no way connected to that.
Yes.
But I don't want to take that anything away from, you know, the situation right now with Ms. Gavon. I think that this is really horrible in the sense that we have to keep on constantly revisiting this over and over. I hate to say it, but it's actually getting to a point of, like, where we're becoming numb to it.
Yeah,
and
man.
It's becoming so normalized. And as I stated on the bonus episode, we're really just perpetuating into these type of these social constructs that's been designed for us, in the sense of the whole Willie Lynch letter of us turning up against each other, and rich against poor, light against dark, all of this, so on and so forth, of just being divided by our differences and distracted by distrust and all of this. And it's just really disgusting, because when you look at it, it doesn't matter, like, who or what they are. It's like Common said this the best on the retrospect for life. But he's like, when you look at your brother, you got to see the God in him. You got to see the God within him. So that right there is that, if you can't really respect that or you can't understand that, I'm just saying, in the sense that we all are, you know, we all are of God. And I don't really want to get too, like, religious or, you know, spiritual or however with anybody. But I'm just saying, like, that's just not what exactly, that's not what we're here for. So to come to a close on that, it's really disheartening that we got to continuously revisit this situation. Yes. And I don't want to use the word exhausting, because we're going to talk about it we're going to talk about it as long as it continues to happen, because we're not going to just go on ahead and sweep it under the rug and just say, oh, it's just another one. It's just another one. It's just another one. But they all have names. They were all somebody's child. Yes, they were all somebody's daughters, sons, fathers, so on and so forth, to all the relationships that these people have. These are real people. So to lose your life over that is just really unfortunate. But for us here, on a corrective action that we can take, as I mentioned in the bonus episode, is, you know, of course, working more with the youth on encouraging that sense of confidence and understanding the two sides of the game, of being on the side of the green eyes of the envy and seeing somebody having something that you want, and also being on the side of the receiving end as well, of understanding that people are, you know, that energy does exist. So the best thing that we can actually do is be the change and be the example and demonstrate that example on a daily by just really, under, you know, and it, I just want us to really, as a culture, as a community, as a collective, I just really want us to break out of that whole desire to, like, really expose our wealth.
I really want us to get through that because
and I understand that that goes so deep-seated, you know, with the whole Sunday's Best and mm-hmm. just everything, and that's a whole different conversation.
Yes.
But as a collective, I want us to get out of that, because it's so many people that you come in contact with. You could be sitting across from a millionaire, but he got on a Tommy Bahama shirt. And, you know, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with the Gucci belts and the chains. I'm not saying anything. Right. I'm not saying anything's wrong with, you know, you actually acquiring wealth. Mm-hmm. But it's just the point of also understanding what we're putting out there. And it's like almost like it's almost like dangling a steak in front of a hungry lion.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm not saying that you deserve to get your hand bit off because of that, but I'm also saying that you got to also take a sense of accountability. It goes back to the concept and the whole foundation of that there's victims and there's volunteers.
We got to
be conscious of that. So
love
and light to our family. And again, as a collective, let's just go on ahead and try to do better on both ends.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with you. I agree. All right. About that time. Let's get into it. Can I kick it? All right. Starting out first. The Palace. New Balance 580. The MT580 is an ideal canvas for the first ever collaboration between New Balances and the Palace. The legendary ever since of the word. The original. 1996 model was just a cutting edge and a favorite of late Japan's 90s shoe concept helped to introduce the sneaker collaboration between the world. The Palace take on the reintroduce of the MT580 leans into the late 90s aesthetic with two colorways laid in a vibrant purple and a green, and the other featuring vivid teal against the detailed classes of the gray tone backdrop. Both options sporting in a speckled midsole design. And not only that, though, it was just released September 30th for $159. And not only that, though, it just recently checked. They got a full size run of these. So, and I ain't going to lie, other than the 574 or so, I mean, I still have my little mix-up about the 574 or so. But 580 is not too bad.
No, the 580 especially this colorway, for those of you guys that have not had the opportunity to see them, like Steven said, they were released on September 30th. But they're more so giving Charlotte Hornets type of colorway. Super excited for this one. I think that it's really smooth, real, even almost a Yeezy-esque type of vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that these are pretty smooth, especially coming from the Palace collaboration as well. The colors, the hues, everything kind of like complements each other. I like that neon kind of green accent with it as well. It kind of breaks up that purple and more or less like the turquoise in it. But again, I'm not upset with these. I wouldn't mind seeing these on anyone's feet. Would I personally cop it? I wouldn't mind them either.
Oh!
I wouldn't mind those either. You know, like I said, they're really mm-hmm. a real smooth colorway. I just would kind of like wonder what I would do with them, but they're not bad.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, though. Yeah, everything just piggybacking on what you said, man. I mean, I agree with you. And I had a pair of a 580s back in the day. Mine was black, a little bit of green, and a red in it.
Black,
yeah,
with a little bit of green.
Yeah. I had got them from Urban Outfitters. So, they were on sale when I got them. They were about, like, I want to say, like, $50 when I had got them.
That's a massive change from the like $159 right now. That inflation.
Right.
Inflation.
For real.
Yes. No, it's for real. Wild. It's real.
No,
wild.
Yeah. But for them to have the Palace on the back of the shoe and just these different color accents on them, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm really digging it though. So I mean, for me, it wouldn't be no drop. I actually would copy because I mean, New Balances is a comfy ass shoe. I can't mm-hmm. front. Like, that's a shoe that you could literally wear all day, even if you wanted to. You
know yeah, I definitely agree. Those are the best. Like you said, from the 574s, 574s to just even the 994s and all the other, you know, numbers that you get into and everything. New Balance, the main focus, of course, they have a streetwear type of presence, but the whole purpose of those shoes are for them to be comfortable running and walking shoes. So, you know, I don't think you could go wrong with them.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, though. So, at Lace Rhymes, you know, let us know, you know, if this this something that you really want to, you know, cop or drop. So, like, you know, let us know. All right, moving along, we got next up. The Women's Air Force One University Blue. You know, like, we haven't seen, I mean, the Air Force One's been coming back, you know, again, but now they dropping some hot tops from the pops of the University Blue Crisp with the white leather vintage sale midsole. This vintage hoop delivers a tried and true plus pattern around the ankle and a hook loop closure to the comfort, while the color match outside metal debris and the woven tone label gets a premium finish. What else could you really ask for? Like, really? And then this shoe is going to be releasing this coming week, October 7th, for $125. So, and you know what, though? I ain't mad at this, though. So, like, you okay. know, hey. You can't never sleep on an Air Force One, though. And I get it. People like lows at one point. Mids was popular, but also too highs too.
Well, when it came down to the highs, I like the Rasheed Wallaces a lot.
Yes,
the Sheets. Yes. Those were the ones right there. You know, and as we're on the Air Force Ones, you know, because again, as Steve said, we kind of, a lot of things kind of slipped through the cracks and everything just because of just missing a whole week of, you know, not being with you guys.
Yeah.
But Nelly actually did take the time to have that whole interview with Complex, right?
Yeah.
And in there, he was just really explaining how, of course, the whole iconic Air Force One song, how he didn't receive any type of, like, official sponsorship from Nike,
yeah.
But in a sense of the sneaker, the whole sneaker culture, and you know, for the influencers, more so the influencers as well as the musicians that are getting these type of collabs,
right?
Nelly
right.
definitely walked so you guys could run. So
exactly,
you know, the Air Force One, like Steve said, iconic shoe. You really can't go wrong with it. Would I go with these? No, just because I'm not really personally a fan. I would go with some mids. That would be the only time that I probably would take a mid over a high.
Yeah, hey, but like I like. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially when you get into like that strap in the back kind of dragon and stuff too. That like, but mm-hmm. I do appreciate them on other people's feet.
Yeah.
So this isn't a bad colorway right here. The sky, you know, the University Blue, of course, for all the Tar Heel fans, and just the North Carolina is really giving a lot of that. It's giving gender reveals, especially if you're looking for a boy.
hey, I like how you do that in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's what, hey, you know, that's what it's like. For right. those that, for you guys that are team boy, these wouldn't be the worst kicks to wear to your
right,
gender
exactly.
reveal for you to go on ahead and kind of give that Burberry polo, that Burberry bun down a break there.
Right,
but
right.
No, these are smooth. They kind of give me almost even also that Love and Basketball type of feel, like
the shoes
that the Monica Wrights, I would call them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's smooth. I don't think that you guys would be disappointed, especially with that sale bottom. I'm a sucker for the discoloration on shoes. You know, because every shoe doesn't necessarily have to be so bright and so vibrant. So when you get that discoloration slightly on the soles, or you know, whenever they put them in the accent, it definitely kind of brings the shoe alive a little bit more, in personal opinion. But don't just take our word for it. Check them out, let us know how you feel about them, and yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, next up, can't even front, one of my favorites as of this week, they actually dropped this shoe earlier this year, September 1st, but they had a re-release, a restock on the 30th, and I was able to pick this shoe up. The Tom Sox Nike Craft General Purpose shoe. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean...
Boy, do those look comfortable.
Oh, man. Just from... The stylized text, the GPS only real, graphic flourish with the handwritten appear behind the tongue tag, and embossed with the heel and even rendered on the black waffle sole. To some, the GPS still represents an elite shoe that will be impossible to get, but we want our community to know that the GPS is here to stay. And also, too, shout out to all the people who went to the Kohl's, not only in Vegas, but around the U.S. that got lucky and was able to get the sneaker at Kohl's, because we know certain places and a lot of these quote-unquote hype beasts, they're not going to fuck with them when it comes to certain sneakers.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, to those of you guys that went and capped on Kohl's.
Right.
That's for like real. For those of you guys that went up there, right, and just bought them out before anybody else could get some. Yeah.
For real.
But you know, man, the things is turning around.
Slightly. No, yeah, so like this shoe just, you know, him saying that this is not a men's shoe or a women's shoe. This is a universal shoe. And the colorway, fucking amazing. With the Dolce Sulfur white, light cream in that yellow. And even with the retail, it was like $110 at the Kohl's. But not only that, though, we see like places like Gold, StockX, Nice Kicks reselling it for like $120, $130, though. So if you didn't get your hands on these, I highly recommend to get them now before the prices go up. And going back just to piggyback what Nikki said, seeing a lot of reviews on this shoe, everybody said by far this had to be the best comfortable shoe for 2022.
And that's what we love to hear, because I swear, it's really been the Sakais, you know, those were really high ranking up there.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie, I have four pairs in them.
Yeah, see, those are the ones that have been like really holding the crown. Yes. So to hear that it's another comfortable shoe in town, that's really exciting.
No, yes.
But before we go on ahead and get into this music this week, I actually have the honor of having the kick pick. Yes. For this week, I actually decided to break out the not only the Nike SBs, but I ended up copping the Bart Simpsons.
Okay, daddy!
Yes.
Oh, you did that with that one.
Yes, you did that with that one. So these here gives us all the Springfield vibes for all my people. Definitely the I Carumbas.
Right.
You know, for
anyone. Don't have a cow, man.
Don't have a cow, man. And these right here, for anyone, I'm sure, you know, for all my 90s kids and just everyone that's just really has a love for The Simpsons growing up, watching it on Fox. These are just really a must grab. I know that The Simpsons has actually had a couple of different collaborations from Keith to even Vans. And just everyone has had their hand recently with the whole Simpsons collaborations. But these right here was definitely an easy cop. I had to get them. The colorways, that vibrant yellow, which really gives us that, you know, again, that Simpsons, that Bart Simpson yellow. We got the red accents as well as the Hyper Royal blue, you know, inside as well. So these were really, they did not disappoint.
Man,
and then for them
that
to be the SBs also. Right. And as you guys can see, I have yet to actually wear them, so they're dead stock. But when I do choose to wear them, you know, they come out with something smooth. But, yeah, this is my kick pick of the week. And, yeah, we.
Well, yeah, no, you really did that. I'm kind of mad. I should have did, because I do got a Bart Simpson shirt with all the bullies that bullied him on there.
Okay,
dog.
You got Nelson.
I should have, yeah, Nelson and all them. I should have just went on ahead and just grabbed that for you when I grabbed mine, because that would have went perfect.
Well,
with
you
that.
Know, I had grabbed those Vans and shit, so it's like I got quite a bit of like Simpson wear, but. Ultimately, like, I'm going to be real. Like, though I got this right now, I wouldn't mind doing, like, maybe a Bart Simpson type of, you know,
you
shirt
to.
With it.
You
but
got
you,
to.
You can.
You can.
But yeah. I feel like, in a sense, also, it's a tad bit cliche. So I'm excited to see. This is going to be a challenge because of the colorway. But this is my kick pick of the week. We got the Bart Simpson Nike SB Dunks.
Well, nah, yeah, for again. Real. Nah, that was clean. Fuck that. I'm going to look. Y'all hear me on Lace Rounds right now. Like, I'm going to go head hunting to find her shirt. Well, with the shirt that I do want to.
And they also came with additional laces as well. Yeah. They gave us the, what is that? They gave us the green and they gave us, yeah, they gave us these.
Oh, yeah, that green, yeah, that green.
That green is going to be really smooth also.
No, yeah, that green is fire. So, yeah, I'm going to be on a hunt to try to find your shirt. Hell, I've been, hopefully, if y'all listening out there.
Hold on. Take that energy and invest it into, like, I saw some Bart Simpson Stan socks. But they weren't they didn't have them on size.
Okay.
Shout out to Stance recently, because what I've noticed is that as opposed to them actually doing that DTG, that direct to garment printing on them, mm-hmm. where when you wear the sock and expands and you can see all the cracks and it really compromises the integrity of the picture on the sock. Mm-hmm. They've been actually doing more of that, like that dye process on them. So they've been, you know, it seems like someone spoke with them and got them moved into a better direction. So the Stan socks are actually coming back in a better direction. So shout out to Stance on that. But yeah, I seen the Simpsons, the Bart Simpsons ones is like as if Instagram, because Instagram is just the ultimate mind reader. Right. It just knows everything. It knows everything
right,
that you have.
Right, for real, for
and
real.
It's gonna always entice you to spend your money, but they have Bart Simpson socks there from Stance, and you know,
as you know
my shoe size, and you also know that, you know, my birthday's coming up, season. Like I said, take that energy.
I was just gonna say, not only with the socks, what I want to try to find is a rare gem is the Meteor Bartman shirt. Cause they made a lot of those. Okay. They made a lot of those joints out there. So fuck it, I'm finna be on a manhunt.
Okay, please.
If anybody can help me, help me.
And also, anything from the Keth collab will also be very, very much appreciated.
Like I'm a Kevin Hart, nigga, help me.
Shameless plug. For real.
All right, let's get into it. Check the ROM. So first up, we got the baby on baby, and all I'm just gonna say, really disappointment. Wasn't really feeling this album as much as I thought I was. 14 tracks, about 30 minutes. The only one that stood out, of course, the opening line of Boogeyman when he had said what he had said about Meg, you know. Him dressed up as a boogeyman.
You play with me, that shit was childish. The day before she said the Tory Lanez shot, I was fucking on Megan Thee Stallion. Waited to say the shit on my next album. Hit it the day before too, but I kept the play, ain't say nothing about it. Had a pretty boy.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Shout out to, you know, that soundbite is actually better than one. Thank you. I don't do this. I've never done this on the show, and I'm going to be completely transparent with each and every last one of you guys, because I wouldn't bullshit you. If I didn't listen to something, I didn't listen to it. This is actually one of the first albums that I did not listen to at all.
And, I ain't mad at it.
And my reasoning behind it was just because not only we had the whole rollout, which was extremely distasteful, and shout outs to all the blogs and everybody that sensationalized that line as if he ate on that. That shit was whack. So it was like, okay, you fuck Megan Thee Stallion. That's awesome. Good for you. You know, hey, I'm sure it's other people that's done that also. You're an adult. And that's what happens when you're an adult.
Right.
But you know, I just kind of been having my issues with him for a minute, and it's been really, really difficult, because let's just go ahead and take the whole LGBTQ community type of situation off of the table from that whole Rolling Loud performance and everything. Let's go ahead and even just go, like, before that happened, he was already on his way out. Like, if somebody on Twitter said it the best, but I just love this comparison. But it's like the baby's flows is Sierra Miz, Sprite, and 7-Up. So, whereas every fucking song sounds the same. So, you know, he was already on his way out, period, point blank, before he even starts saying that unpopular opinion and, you know, all the shit he was saying. Then it's like you go from that to like really just treating the child of your mother, the mother of your child, trash. And it's like these are all personal things. Of course, you got to separate the art from the artist.
Yeah.
But it's like when you doing all this like fuck shit outside of of the, like, in addition to having whack ass art, like, what am I supposed to do with that, baby? Like, I'm not supposed to do shit with it. I'm not listening to it. I'm not, I don't give it no type of love and light. I don't give it no type of entertainment. And I couldn't even bring myself, like, especially the week I'm having, I couldn't bring myself to listen to that shit.
No, like, yeah, I feel it though. But I mean, all right, you know what? Fuck it. You're just gonna end it at this and that. Hey.
Yeah, that one, like I said, I never done that. Like, I could have came out here and been like, oh, man, I just really wasn't feeling it. No, let's keep that shit real. I didn't listen to it. Shit was whack. It was whack, and I didn't even listen to it.
Right, it really was. So
I'm glad you did that, so I didn't have to go through that.
No, for real.
Steve did that, so Cole didn't have to go through that. You see how that was better than this whole fucking ride. That shit wrong.
Right, for real, though. So, I mean, hey, y'all want to check that out. Check it out, though, but.
Check it out.
Here. Trash. All right. Next up. You know what? I ain't no front. I enjoyed this one.
Oh, yeah.
Lakia, No Pressure, Part 2. Okay. I was a fan of Part 1. But Part 2.
But when she took Part 1 and she put Part 2 together with Part 1 in Part 2.
Yeah. This is fire. 10 tracks. Yeah. 25 minutes. Her talking her shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I enjoyed this one. The only thing that was like, because, we did review Part 1 a couple months ago. And basically Part 2 is just a fusion of Part 1 and Part 2. So it's like, it's a couple of new songs on there, which, don't get me wrong, the new songs on there is definitely worth the listen. I did enjoy the project, so I don't want anything to take away from that. But I'm like, I was listening to it, and I'm like, damn, I heard this shit before. And I had to go back, and I was like, okay, yeah. This is the same thing. Because it had the Mind Your Business, which has been pretty much like the summer anthem and everything. Then there was another track on there. Like, I like the Lucky Day track. That was a new one.
And I ain't going front, though. I did like this one, too. Real bitch.
Yeah, she came out. I like the Maneuver, that one was smooth. What was the other one on here? I'm sorry, the Lucky Day. And I feel like the Giannis. Yeah, the Giannis, that was smooth too. The Giannis was smooth.
Oh.
Yeah. That one was really.
Oh yeah, I swear, Vizo. Yeah, this one was.
This one was real smooth because she's from Milwaukee, but it definitely gave like that Detroit type of vibe,
Bitch, I'm bad off the wake up. First bitch try me lay her down like a lace front. I be on that boss shit. They be taking pay cuts. Million dollar tight, bitch. I make these niggas pay up. This rap shit a layer. Yeah, shit on bitches. Right? Don't take none.
Come on. Yeah.
Don't judge me.
Don't
judge me.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
Don't judge me though, but yeah, I fuck.
And I didn't like that. She just came straight off on, like I said, with the Maneuver also. So like, hey, this one I wasn't upset with that. That was something I could listen to. I wasn't upset with the Lakia. And then also shout out to Lakia because she was also present at Revolt.
At the summit as well.
One thing that she did do at the summit, it was some type of sound issue, and she had to go on ahead and rock it a cappella. So that was really, really sick. That just really speaks for her level of artistry and for her to be so young and so fresh in the game and still be able to carry her own and kind of roll with the punches and kind of go with the tides and everything. Hey, hats off to her.
Absolutely, y'all. So if y'all haven't checked it out, go ahead and go check out Lakia No Pressure Part 2. All right, before we get into You Don't Know, Now You Know, we got one more album to cover. Cameron and A-Track, You Wasn't There. This one, it was fairly all right.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't the best, so, but it's just, this just giving me good old camera vibes, like, him just flowing and everything, though. But it was just good to hear him on another producer and another DJ by the name of A-Track, just flowing on a lot of the beats that he was doing. And I did like the features from Conway, Styles P, and even from his boys from the Dipset, Juel Santana and Jim Jones. It was short, simple, and sweet. 9 tracks, 26 minutes. So I mean, you couldn't complain. You're gonna get that Cameron that you wanna get.
Oh yes, you know what I'm saying? And we were blessed with Dame coming in and just unapologetically tucking his shit. What I loved about the whole Dame skits is just pretty much Dame getting in there, and that's the Dame Dash I like. Yes, that's the Dame Dash I love. Like, he's just, nigga, I'm laughing at you. I'm not, you know, like, me and Cam, you know, and he just kind of really took us back and kind of gave us those Dipset feels. Because for anyone that was really tapped in with the Dips, to hear Juelz on there and him having that sound, like, because you can hear a difference in Cam's voice, of course. But with Juelz, he really still is giving us that same, that 03, 04 type of sound. So that was really sick. One thing I would have liked to have seen on there was just really maybe getting Juelz and Jimmy on the same track. But, you know, there are so many different politics and people and all that kind of stuff. So that didn't happen on this go round for whatever reason, you know, behind the scenes. But I really did enjoy it. The opening track on the project also was pretty cool. Like, I did listen to it. It's all of 29 minutes. So it was a very smooth and easy listen. And for those of you guys that had any type of appreciation for the Dipset and what they brought to the table back in 03 and 04, you really would, you know, you can vibe to this. It kind of gives you that feel. And there were some tracks where you can kind of hear Cam trying to keep up with the time slightly. But when he was just in his Cam bag and just really, like, you know, still spitting this shit, because we know Cam, especially with the Dipset days, like, of hitting us with the okey pokey,
right,
you know, holy moly, you know. But then there were times where Cam can really spit some shit. So, you know, on this one, you can get a nice little blend of that. So, if you guys appreciated the Dips, if you guys listened to Cameron back in those times, I would say definitely going ahead and give it a spin. I'm sure you might have a couple of different takeaways on it. It's all the 27 minutes. Going ahead and get a man. And then also for A-Track's production as well, that's not something to just gloss over. He did pretty well as well.
Yes, no, definitely did well, though. So, I mean, like, if you guys haven't checked it out, go ahead and check out the collab with Cameron and A-Track. All right, moving on. We got this new segment coming on with you guys. So, it's called If You Don't Know, Now You Know. So, pretty much this segment is going to be about breaking underground artists or artists that you never heard of, whether it's in the hip-hop or even in the R&B segment. So check this out for our new segment.
And again, these are you know, again, if you don't know, now you know. So you definitely may have heard some of the people that are coming up on this segment in the future. But again, it's just to, like, really expose and give these artists their flowers, of course.
Oh, no, absolutely. So, once again,
and if you don't know, now you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, now we're giving it up to person that, you know, that I seen at the Revo Summit, named go by Bay G, representing Atlanta, female artist and songwriter from Atlanta. Understanding that what she wanted to be at a young age, at 6, her parents noticed how much dancing and singing meant to her. They enrolled her in dance, theater, and local competitions. And now, grown up, she's ready to show the world her talents. She's been releasing songs like Toxic, this one that we're playing, On You, which she performed at Revo in front of the judges of DJ Drama, Rhapsody, J-Block. So, and she ended up winning a competition of $10,000. So, yo.
That's not no small feat.
No, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was some really heavy competition there. So, yeah, we had the pleasure of seeing her perform live. And like you said, she definitely is something to be looking out for.
You know, her being inspired by Rihanna. I've heard them asking her questions, how you live life to the fullest. And she always believed in having a blast or don't do it at all. You know, her shouting out her zodiac sign, a Taurus. You know what I'm saying? Being a fun girl is my personality trait. Pretty much from day to day, waking up and turning up vibes. I definitely live a stress-free life, and that's the best way to do it. It means by hanging out with my close girlfriends or making music all day. Either way, having a great time to live life to the fullest. So, guys, I'm telling you, this girl, she gonna be a problem. And just from the music that she does, you know, last joint I played was On You. Now this one, STG. So I'm telling y'all go ahead and stop playing. Give her a chance. Y'all gonna like this shit. Like, for real.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah. Because I had heard the other one from the Revolt, but this one's smooth as fuck, too.
Oh,
yeah.
No, yeah, absolutely. And her stage presence was just phenomenal.
Yeah, she was ready. Like, you know, you come out there and perform. That's good. You got people that can sing, but then you got people that can sing. And, you know, she came out there, she was ready. She had the choreography down. She had the dancers, you know, so she didn't come to play with them.
At all. At all. So, I mean, y'all check this out, though. Like, no, if you don't know, now you know. So, Bae G, like, you know what I'm saying? You can find all her music on Tidal, Apple, Spotify, and even SoundCloud. So, hey, stop playing. Go ahead and support, like, for real.
Absolutely.
For real, for real, for real. All right. When we get up out of here, it's about that time.
Yes, it is.
We're going to get y'all into the classic corner.
And now for my next number. I'd like to return to the classic.
Ooh-wee. I'm kind of excited for this one.
Man. It's your pick.
Yes. 1996. Born down south. New Orleans. He gave us a little sample with Ice Cream Man. But now, came back with us with Ghetto D, a.k.a. Ghetto Dope.
For your support.
Make crack like this. Make crack like this. Make crack, make crack, make crack like this.
Let me give a shout out to the D-Boys. Drug dealer. Neighborhood dope, man. I mean realness.
Come on, man.
Yo, Lokes, nigga. Shit.
From Ghetto Dope to Let's Ghetto. Can't tell me this shit wasn't knocking in the 212s or the 10s. This shit right here is a knocker.
Should I say yazzing? They don't realize that, nigga, this is real life. This reality.
And I don't care what nobody's saying. No Limit was running those times. They really were. Like, they were like, No Limit and, you know, of course, with the kids now, they pretty much like Cash Money.
Right.
But No Limit definitely is winning. So Cash Money can run down there.
Exactly.
Motherfucking shit. We gonna set the motherfucking record straight.
There they go, there they go, there they go. Pass me the bangs, let's get them. There they go, there they go, there they go.
Pass me the bangs, let's get them. There they go, there they go, there they go.
If you wanna play this, something wrong with you.
I get swole like a vulture. Bitch, I'm a soldier.
Y'all running from the road. I slang tapes like crack. My rhyme so pure, hit it with 2-7-8, come back. In the game won't change, cause I'm the dope man. But why y'all niggas still running off at the mouth, man?
Come on, man. And then, of course, Ultimate Track that had everybody in the crib turning their videos up, turning the TV up, full blast. Your pops, your moms, your auntie, it don't matter.
Oh, this P.
Everybody play this.
Yeah, this P.
P?
Yeah.
P, let me hear you say,
Come on, man. This was a joint.
I just remember that video, man.
Oh, man, that video was on fire.
That was crazy.
Nigga, I'm the colonel of the motherfucking tank. Y'all have the big things, we have the big bank.
Normal hustlers, soldiers in combat.
I'm down here slanging,
rolling with these hustlers.
Trying to get rid of you
haters in your buster. Stepping on toes, breaking niggas' nose. In the projects, nigga, anything goes.
Breaking fools up, cause I'm a no.
Come on, man. Get on fucking D. Master P. Let's go, man. I'm gonna tell y'all, man, like, we already had the introduction of him from the Ice Cream Man. But when we got to Ghetto D, he was like, hey, I'm Master P, and I'm here to stay.
Oh,
Ghetto
absolutely.
D, released in September of 1997, No Limit, in the conjunctions of Priority Records. And when it comes to this business shit, other than E-40, Master P wrote the blueprint. Had a deal that was unheard of, an 80-30 deal where he kept 80% and only 30% was being returned to the record label. So come on now, think about that. He was doing that for everybody that was signed to No Limit. And then just not only that, though, he took it up another notch where, you know, letting everybody know, like, we knew about the South, though, but this time we heard people from Texas, but we got niggas coming out from New Orleans, from Louisiana.
Right, right. And man, we had, you know, we had Snoop coming up from Long Beach, going down south as well. Like, at this time, No Limit definitely was the force to be reckoned with. You know, first and foremost, you know, cheers and, yeah, you know, man, all of that, you, all of that you. For this pick. I wish thank I could, you. I wish I could reciprocate the energy that you have for this and the, you know, amount of love and admiration you have for this. But I don't think anybody can. I don't even think Master P himself can go on ahead and match the energy that you just gave us. So for I'm just going to go on ahead and calmly, like, you know, let you know, great pick. Like you said, is this was just an amazing time. What a time to be alive, because No Limit was just it was just blessing us with hit after hit, album after album. You know, people say what they want to say, but Silk the Shocker was doing numbers back then. Also, in the sense, also we were we got you. The C Murder, we had Mystical, and just how man. Just how deep Mr. Swerve on Cain and Fiend, Abel,
Mac Fiend, Maul, like come Mac, on man,
you know, just Mac, you know, Shell Shock. That's actually one of my favorites from that camp. But yeah, like I promise you, like that whole No Limit dynamic, it was just they were just running absolutely everything at that time. There was absolutely no way that you can actually get that you could have been able to get away from him. So even down to that, and then even down to the how could this be,
somebody take my boy from me, my best friend's gone, and I'm so all alone.
Tell
I really miss my home. Hey man, bro,
man,
you
that,
bringing that
but,
energy right now.
Man, but that was a follow-up from the I'm About It. I ride for you, homie.
I die for you, homie. I cry for you, homie.
So we in here. We up. Like, again, there was absolutely no way that you could get around that. And this was one of the better projects that came from Master P, because, of course, as it kind of kept on going and, you know, they were dropping like 50 million albums every month, you know, some could kind of get lost. But Ghetto D was up there, and I really I enjoyed this project as well. Like, I really remember that moment and watching the Make 'Em Say video, them all in that gym with those leather fatigue, baseball vests and
Time. They started a whole movement, though. But just want to just say, like, you know, thank you for allowing me to, you know, this was a turn for mine, like, you know, to let me do this.
Oh, man, you know? Nah, you already know what time it is, man. Yeah, this is definitely, and thank you, you know, for allowing me to express my gratitude, you know, for these, to share that love for these albums as well. So, as we stated before, you have yet to, you know, everything is just really a labor of love over here. Mm-hmm. And when we go through these classic corners, it's just really dope to resurface these gems and to revisit them. So I'm grateful that you went on ahead and put up this relic. It puts the pressure on me for next week. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I'm going to go somewhere.
You got this.
We're going to definitely take that one up. But yeah, like, from everything, again, huge shouts out to the Revolt Summit. That was an amazing experience for all of those that are continuously tapping in. For our new listeners, welcome. For our vet listens, our listeners, our OGs, you know, thank you for your continued support. We can't stress that enough. And yeah, this is our contribution to our culture.
Yes.
So to our community and everything. So we're happy that it's well received, and that you guys, your continued support, you know, we can't do this. So we definitely appreciate you guys. And yeah, you know, like, that's what I got.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. Again, you can see us on YouTube. Rate, subscribe, comment. We're on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, SoundCloud, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. follow us on all the things. If you like what we're saying, leave a comment. If you don't like what we're saying, go ahead and leave a comment. Once again, we name it, you on it. Plain and simple.
Absolutely.
So once again, we just want to just say thank y'all for, you know, being here, you know, rocking with us since day one and all new friends. Look, you're going to love us. Plain and simple. So until then, this is your boy Skeeter Steve.
All right, and Nikki B.
Lace Drums, we are out.